I'm bringing back the sound effects. Last week's viewership was down.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of three, I think it was only two.
In two weeks ago, you said, okay, this is the only show. Now we are two shows past that.
I'm telling you, instead of three people last week, it was two. Our viewership went down. So we're bringing in the music.
Ah, man. Well, we had the music last week.
We did. I didn't think we had the intro.
Did we not? I don't know. I don't remember.
All right. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Racing Hotspot. I'm Devin Poslesny, joined by my co-pilot of the show, Mr. Jordan Jenkins. Jordan, how are you?
I'm doing great, Devin. It's feeling like spring in New England. It feels great.
It's 43 degrees, door bumper clear revealed that there's a modified test happening at Thompson today.
I didn't even know that.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gotten to that part of the episode yet.
Sorry. I only know that because Tommy Baldwin mentioned how they were going up,
Luke Baldwin.
Thompson test.
Yeah, Luke Baldwin's going to be there next week, so makes sense.
I think he's running a Ryan Preece car today, and I was like, oh, Thompson's clear.
Yeah, I don't remember if it's – I know – so Luke Baldwin's running, I think, full-time in tri-track, I think, this year. And, it's Thompson next weekend. And I don't know if he's running Priest's car or if he's running the Tommy Baldwin's car. Either way, he's going to be there regardless, Luke Baldwin, so –
Perfect. No, I mean, you mentioned spring, so when you have cars on track in New England,
yes,
that is spring.
And you know it's like race season too, when like it was announced last week. I don't know if I mentioned it. I don't think I knew it by this time last week. Mm. But Oxford Plains Speedway announced that on May 27th in their inaugural Memorial Day Clash 200, which is going to be officiated by the Pro All-Star Series, pretty much as a Pro All-Star Series race.
Mm-hmm.
That current Craftsman Truck Series driver and former Cup Series driver and Xfinity Series champion Daniel Hemric, along with two-time champion Kyle Busch, will be running at Oxford Plains Speedway May 27th. That's a Tuesday.
Hmm.
So, and it just so happens that I was going to be there regardless because it's going to also be part of a Oxford Triple Crown Series. So it'll be the Memorial Day Clash 200, the Celebration of America 300 in July, 4th of July week, obviously, and then the Oxford 250 weekend.
Yep.
So, and I looked at the entry list for Oxford 250 and the Celebration of America 300. You know the Oxford 250 is one of the biggest races of the year,
mm-hmm.
especially in like not even just New England, but like short tracks like in the country probably.
Yeah.
That there's already 38 cars on the entry list for the Oxford 250 and 20 and 28 for the COA 300.
That's insane.
So it's just like, wow. But, yeah.
Yeah.
It was just also official. I guess it was official when Ryan Preece said it himself at New Smyrna while he was running Tour Type Modifieds down there. But Stafford officially released an article yesterday that Ryan Preece will be running at Stafford on July 16th, which is a Wednesday. So, obviously, he's going to be at Thompson May 14th as well, so he's going to be running around New England a couple of times, which is good to see around New England because you don't really see a lot of, like, I mean, you see it, like, the week Loudon weekend that someone will run Thunder Road Thursday and Lee Friday.
Right.
But you don't usually see Cup drivers come up to New England, like, when it's not Loudon weekend to run racing. Kyle Busch and Hemric did it during the COA 300 last year, but that's good. You see, like, Priest coming up here. I mean, Priest is from New England anyway, but
right.
Priest is coming up here to run modified. Kyle Busch and Daniel Hemric coming up to Oxford. I mean, Kyle Busch coming to Oxford, you know that the crowd's going to be packed just for Kyle Busch.
Exactly. No, I mean, it's exciting. I mean, it's great. It's great to see this, and it's funny because it almost – you sit here and you think to yourself how – people complain that the shorter weekends for NASCAR, right? Door bumper clear. I know you haven't gotten through the full episode yet, but door bumper clear kind of talked about it with testing and stuff.
Right.
Like how, you know, okay, well, we're saving money on testing, but we're spending that million that we were allocating to testing somewhere else. So we're not really saving money.
Right.
You know? So anyways, point is like you see these shorter weekends, and there are fans out there, like, will say it when we camp there in September, how it's like, cars on track Saturday.
Friday.
Well, no, but, like, I'm saying, like,
but
Xfinity maybe on Friday,
yeah.
Modified's on Friday, but it's like, it used to be Cup Series on Friday.
Which is why it's good for,
you know,
Loudon weekend, because we got the Friday Night Dirt.
So we got some racing action at least. I guess that's my point, is that now it allows for, like, a Kyle Busch or a Ryan Preece or somebody to say, you know what, on Wednesday, I'm going north.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I might have to be in Vegas on Friday, but guess what? In the world of air travel, flying to Concord, New Hampshire, run a race,
fly out
west or wherever, you know. So it is.
I'm going to look. So
it's interesting.
May 14th, so that week that Preece comes to Thompson that Wednesday.
Isn't that the All-Star race?
Yes, that weekend right after. So he'd fly down to North Carolina, but that's North Wilkesboro weekend.
Yeah,
and then May 27th is they're going to Nashville. So they're going to be the Coke 600, and then Kyle Busch, I guess, because Hemric's running the truck race that Friday. But Kyle Busch will go from Charlotte on Sunday to Maine on Tuesday to go back to go to Nashville. So it's just like, and even, I mean, when Ryan Preece comes to Stafford that Sunday, he's in Dover. That weekend, they're in Dover. So in all reality, Preece will probably just be up in New England pretty much that whole week. Because he'll probably go down to Dover probably Friday. So, yeah. So Preece will probably be around New England, so who knows?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's like,
maybe you can see Ryan Preece eating at the 99 on, like, Thursday or something.
But that's the thing. Like, again, back to what I was just saying about how, like, the it's like a double-edged sword, the shorter weekends.
Yes.
You know, like, you sit here and you're like, ah, Cup callers come in on Friday. We only see them on track Saturday, Sunday. But then guess what? This person standing next to you at that Hall of Parade's like, yeah, but I saw Ryan Preece running at Thompson on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if he had to be here Thursday or be in wherever on Wednesday, he wouldn't have been able to do that. So I don't know. It's weird. But anyways, anything else on, I guess this is Short Track Saturday segment.
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, I mean, I'll mention it again next week, because obviously, but next week I'm in Thompson Saturday and Sunday. I'm actually be at the Vermont Motorsports Expo Friday night, because, you know, I like torturing myself. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
It's not torturing. It's hitting the
road. I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Grind it out.
That's a Friday night, and I already know, based on the race day number one at Thompson, that I'm leaving my house at 5 a.m. Saturday. Because pits open at 7 and practice at 9, so I want to get there early because I'm calling a pro truck tour race. So I know gets me, like, I kind of know a lot of the drivers already, but kind of just, you know.
We got to get you, like, a pickup truck with one of those campers in the back.
Yeah, you definitely do.
I think that's what we need to do here. That's the next upgrade for Jordan.
But, yeah, we have that coming up. We have Vermont Motorsports Expo Friday night, and then leaving bright, and I don't even want to say bright and early. It'll probably still be dark at 5 a.m. when I have to leave for Thompson to get there for 7 a.m., which isn't a bad drive. It's an hour and 40. Probably can really do it in an hour and a half. But, yeah, I'll be calling the Pro Truck Tour race on Racing America, and then I'll be in the infield covering the Monaco Modified Tri-Track Series race, the Pro All-Star Series, and then Sunday I'll be covering the NASCAR Wheel Modified Tour. So
just a couple things going on.
Yeah. Not busy.
Not busy.
Not busy at all.
No. Well, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's next week.
It's great. I've been counting down the days. Usually banquets are done by now, but the Modified Racing Series banquet is this Saturday, so I have that. Which I don't mind it being so close. It's popular with drivers because, you know, a lot of them are going to be in Thompson next week running the Tri-Track race, because MRS and Tri-Track we're not the same series, but we have the same rules.
Mm.
So, like our champion last year, Matt Swanson, he won the 2024 MRS Championship. He's full-time in Tri-Track. So it's kind of like he can run Tri-Track. Like, there was one time, they were at Lee. Tri-Track, I forget where Tri-Track was the day before. And then the next day, MRS was there, and all the people that ran Tri-Track that do MRS were MRS with the same exact car. Just boom. You just change the setup, obviously, because it's a different track.
Yeah.
But that doesn't take much.
I gotcha.
But, yeah, it's race season's been here, but in New England, race season is upon us, which
race
is great.
Race season's upon us. Crazy.
First time, like, hosting a banquet, too, I'm pretty sure. Because I'm pretty sure I'm the host being the announcer. Who knows?
We'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Well, moving on. Before we go to NASCAR, we had another series start their season this weekend. Another open wheel series, but they like to run on the more the European side of the world.
Yeah, so they races in Eastern time start at like 2 a.m.
Yes.
So you usually wake up. You can wake up at like 6 a.m. and see who won.
So Formula One brought their season opener back to Melbourne, Australia. Eastern time here, race was at 12 a.m. on Sunday, so right at midnight. But anyways, crazy race from what I understand. Unfortunately, I didn't catch it, but it was mostly in the wet. We did have a couple drivers lose it on the formation lap as well as later on in the race, but that's what you get when – or that's the product of multiple rookies being in the field. Overall, though, from what I understand, a very quiet weekend. Lando Norris picking up right where they left off last year in with McLaren. Obviously, Verstappen is the current reigning champion. But Norris wins. Verstappen second. He was only 0.8 behind, so he was right there. And George Russell was third. There was a penalty, I believe, that had it so that Antonelli was awarded fourth, but I don't remember what that penalty was for Formula One. So anyways, that's your top three podium. Next race for them is the Japanese or the Chinese. Oh my goodness. Sorry. Japanese is next. I was looking at the wrong tab. The Chinese Grand Prix on Sunday, the 23rd. That is this upcoming Sunday. You can watch it at 3 a.m. here on the East Coast. So that's the racing you're talking about, where they are literally 12 hours ahead of us.
Yep.
So anyways, so yeah, Chinese Grand Prix and then the Japanese Grand Prix. I got ahead of myself there by one race. And then Bahrain and Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. So those are your next handful of races for Formula One. We'll do our best to kind of keep tabs on it. Like I said, I apologize. I did not get a chance to watch this race. Normally, I do go back and rewatch it. But
yeah, I meant to. Weekend, I just I don't know. I just like blanked on it.
Yeah, this weekend was crazy. We were wrapping up winter sports in New Hampshire. Shout out to Belmont Guilford. Ice hockey winning the state championship.
Shout out to Pembroke Academy men's basketball.
True.
Boys basketball, they are the state champions. I think that's the first one since my junior year of high school, which was 2019. So first one
years
in
ago,
first sure. one in six years. It feels like 35 years, but it's 6 years.
Jordan's old.
So. And it's funny, too, because, like, both times, like, this year, PA was, like, one of the best teams in the state, like, in all of the divisions-wise. And, like, even the year we won, I think we lost, like, one game that year. So, just, like, every time PA – I mean, this is going to sound like – I guess – what's the word? I don't know what the word is. But PA has been, like, the best team, like, in the state both times they won, like, across all four divisions.
Mm.
Which is going to sound like, oh, yeah, obviously they won the state championship, but it's just like they've been like – they just turn it up.
Yeah.
Because like the next year after, we were not good after we won. So hopefully that doesn't happen this year.
I got you.
Especially being at PA, we don't win much. Being a PA kid, we don't win much of anything.
Well, once again, congratulations to those two. So we head out west where the NASCAR circus was running. The Truck Series on Friday, Xfinity on Saturday, Cup on Sunday. Truck Series race took a little longer than expected because of Mother Nature deciding to show up.
I did not watch the truck race. I even watched replays because, again, hectic weekend.
I was able to watch it.
Friday, I was at a St. Patrick's party, so. And I meant to, like, I'll watch it, like, the replay Saturday, but never got a chance.
No, so basically it was a good race. It was competitive. The biggest probably story, I mean, just to kind of tell you how the race went, it was the biggest storyline coming out of it was the fact that, not the biggest storyline. Matt Crafton got penalized under red because his team made an unapproved adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't the biggest storyline, but it was a storyline. So they, you know, other than that, I mean, Mother Nature just kind of sort of showed up and was here. I'm trying to get to the recap. Hang on. NASCAR's website's a little difficult.
I know there were, the delay was like an hour, a couple hours at least.
There were two delays. The second one was like 10 minutes, 15 minutes. But they did have to bring the cars down, trucks down again. All right, so Corey Heim won. He held off Grant Enfinger. Thank you. I was like, couldn't get it out.
This is exactly how it's written.
I know. Just for some reason, I couldn't get it out. Heim led race high 42 of the 134 laps to Ankrum's 39. Yeah. So ultimately, it was a good truck race. Corey Heim did everything he needed to do to win. You know, he did a great job. He held off Enfinger and was able to make it happen. So your top five.
His first official win where he crossed the start finish line first.
Yep. Your top five. Hang on. It's loading. Oh, geez. NASCAR.com is killing me. All right. Your top five. Corey Heim, Grant Enfinger, Tanner Gray, Ty Majeski, and Lane Riggs. Those are your top five for the truck race on Friday. Anything, Jordan, you'd like to throw in?
I didn't watch it, but I did see Tyler Ankrum's post-race post-race interview on pit road with Front Stretch. Mm. And all I'm going to say is it probably was not the smartest thing to do. And it's going to show to other teams why he probably shouldn't be driving for them.
Jog our memories. What happened?
Tyler Ankrum, obviously, drives for Bill McAnally Racing. Drives the 18 truck, finished 10th. He pretty much bashed the engineers because he said this whole season the truck, they brought a truck that doesn't have the right speed.
That's right.
I forget exactly word for word what he said, but all he did was bash his team like it wasn't his fault.
More or less pointed blame otherwise.
Yeah. Yes. So obviously, being a truck series driver, you know, teams are going to look at that. And they're going to be like, why would we want him on our team if we don't, if let's say we mess up 1 week and he's not, you know?
Right.
I mean, it was just like, wow. And a lot of people were kind of like, wow, maybe he shouldn't be getting another ride if he's going to keep doing this.
I think I mean, I don't know how old he is, but I think that's going to come with maturity.
I feel like he's older than me.
I don't know. He's going to, hold on, Jordan's looking it up. But
I'm looking it up.
I feel like that's something that kind of comes with maturity. And what I mean by that is he might feel that way, but you have to, as a human being.
He is 24.
Okay. So you, as a human being, need to know that even if you feel that, like, this is the worst season ever, there's a time and a place to be saying that.
Well, you can.
You know, like, and in front of the media is not the time.
No. And you can. And, like, yeah, I mean, he's still fairly young. Like, he's 24, so he's our age. Hmm. But an example you can put out is Connor Zilich. Hmm. He's 18. I don't even know if he's graduated high school yet. Maybe this year. Maybe in June. Either way, he's either just graduated high school or he's about to. And he talks like he's a 10-year veteran in racing. And, like, even if the car sucks, but he puts the blame on himself.
But Zilich runs multiple disciplines of racing.
Right.
So, like, he has, point being is, even if he's 18, let's say 19, just in case he's a little older than 18. I'm pretty sure he's 18. But anyways, he's not in his 20s. But he has dealt with how many PR people, how many race teams mm-hmm. who have said, hey, even if your wheel falls off, you do not blame Goodyear or Continental or whatever. Like, you don't do this. You say, oh, yeah, you know, stuff happens.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, the people you are going to sit there and say that bah, bah, bah are the same ones that are going to turn those wrenches next week.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they're contracted, they're hired to do it, so they'll still do it. but they're not going to go that extra step.
Right.
You know, like there might be, if you have a race team that feels very appreciated and everything, like, yes, hey, turn this wrench and, yeah, I mean, if we can wash off the windshield, we will. Whereas other teams would just be like, oh, no. You know, like instantly they just do it mm-hmm. because they feel appreciated and they naturally want to do it. Whereas if you're more or less saying my team sucks, guess what? They're going to do, okay, I need to tighten this lug. Great. Can I go home now?
Right.
So point is I think that just kind of comes with maturity and who knows? I don't know what his background is. But like Zillage, I think truthfully, it's just simply the fact that he's run on the world stage of the Rolex.
And won.
But like
won the 12-hour to Sebring when he was like 12.
So those two platforms right there don't come with the rookie PR people. They come with PR people that are old enough to be his parents, you know, if not grandparents. And those people know what to do and what not to do, and they teach that.
Well, Tyler Ingram probably has one that's like that too.
But I'm just saying, like, it's maturity, but also there's training. And I feel like some of the bigger teams, if you're running at the Rolex, your first meeting is with the owner, the second meeting is with the PR guy, mm-hmm. saying, okay, hey, welcome to the race team. See all these posts on Instagram? Get rid of them.
Yeah.
You know, because you know as well as I do that as soon as you announce that I'm going to go work at Daytona, everybody who might not like Daytona for whatever reason, let's say whatever, they're going to go looking at your Instagram account to find a way to tear you down.
Absolutely.
You know, and if there's a photo of you and your best friend at a St. Patrick's Day party, even if it's just a, hey, we're hanging out at a St. Patrick's Day party, people are going to do whatever they want to make it look bad.
Right.
So point is like maturity and, you know, it just like I don't know if you can compare Zillage to Ingram because of the fact that Zillage has had so much work with top tier teams.
True.
And Ingram is still new.
True.
So I assume he's probably somewhere. Whether it was yesterday or today, somewhere there was a conversation with him.
Oh, yeah. You know, in the team meetings on Monday, he definitely
But the unfortunate thing for him is that, yes, we talked on Monday. But guess what? The issue that we're talking about happened on Friday. And you said it perfect. It was captured by the front stretch, which, by the way, quick shout out. Love them. They do a great job capturing moments that TV and other media outlets don't. Captured by the front stretch, put on social media, and boom. So unfortunately for the race team, it's a reactionary thing. It's not a precautionary thing.
Right.
So, yeah, it's... Yeah. I don't know. It's... I don't think he did anything bad enough to lose a job, but like.
No, he won't lose a job for that.
But at the same time, you got to be more aware of that.
Yeah.
Moving on, Saturday, Justin Allgaier winning the Xfinity race. Pretty good Xfinity race. He held off Almirola over the 102 lap ish green flag run. And won in a dominating fashion. So congratulations to Allgaier. Did you catch any of the Xfinity race?
I saw the whole thing.
Okay. What were your thoughts on it?
I thought it was really good. Very, I don't know if there's been many penalties. I don't recall there being a lot.
Not like Sunday.
No, definitely not like Sunday. Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I thought Almirola was gonna win back to back. He had a really fast car, but I don't know if it's with Almirola with the experience he has, or if it's just that 19 team. They bring a great car every week, no matter who's the driver. I mean, Justin Bonsignor at Daytona was looking really good in that car. He probably will again this week at Homestead.
Yeah.
As a Bonsignor. So it's just like, wow, this is...
Well, it's JGR equipment.
Yeah. Well, I knew that, obviously, but, you know, it's look at Ty Gibbs. But...
That's a talking point coming out of Vegas. Go on.
But, yeah, it's... Something with the 19 car, and obviously Almirola has a lot of experience. I consider him an underrated driver because he don't. I mean, I know he hasn't won much in his career, but I mean, he's always competitive whenever he has the right car to do so. Mm. But Justin Allgaier, I mean, Junior Motorsports has looked really solid this year with all four of their cars: Quapel, Allgaier, Sammy Smith, and Zilich. I mean, Junior Motorsports. There are four cars when qualified in the top six. Top six or top eight, something like that. So they had fast speed, so they were a car to look at. So obviously Allgaier winning stage one, his car, I don't even know if he had really any issues, Allgaier. I don't even know if he left the top 10, other than like maybe green flag cycle. But really other than that, felt like he was in the top five, top 10 all day.
Yeah, I mean, he did a good job. I mean... Let me see if I can pull up stage one results. I mean, one by Allgaier. Stage two was second for Allgaier. So, yeah, I mean, he was if not top five, definitely top 10. I think that, you know, JGR equipment is really good. That's why definitely the conversation of Ty Gibbs is happening, which we'll get to with Cup. But yeah, top five from Xfinity, Allgaier with the win, Almirola second, Jesse Love third, Austin Hill fourth, and Sam Mayer fifth.
Sam Mayer, I wasn't really expecting much out of Haas Factory Team, and I'm sure not a lot of people were, especially after the last couple of years with the Stewart Haas. Like, they were just, something was going on with them. Sam Mayer, I think, has finished in the top 10 in every single race except Atlanta when he wrecked.
Their Xfinity whatever. Program's always been solid, yeah. Though, for Haas or Stewart Haas or whatever.
There's something, and they mentioned, they were talking about Sheldon Creed a lot, because obviously Sheldon Creed has the most Xfinity race runner-up finishes without a win.
Yep.
Do you think Sheldon Creed could be out of a Xfinity job if he doesn't win soon? I feel like Sheldon Creed will win this year, though. I just feel like he gets so close often, but he can't capitalize.
I don't know.
Sheldon Creed finished 10th yesterday, or Saturday.
And he's running for what?
Haas Factory.
I don't know.
And he was with RCR and he was with JGR and he hasn't won.
I don't know.
I mean, he's obviously talented.
Right.
But like last year at Loudon, he had probably the best chance to win, and he didn't do the right move, and he cost himself the win, which led to Bell winning the Xfinity race. I mean, he wasn't really close to winning this one. He was top 10. Like, I don't even know if he was in the top three at all, but I think with how strong Haas Factory Team is this year, I think he can finally get that win. But
I think also it comes down to, for them, it almost seems like it's okay, we have this much of the pool, and do we want to evenly share it, or do we want to give it to one or another? You know, because I think for them, it's a proving year. You know, I think for them this year, Haas Factory is like trying to say, we don't need Tony Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
That said, in the Cup Series side.
On the Cup Series side?
I think they do. But, obviously...
I didn't even know where place Cole Custer finished
obviously,
in.
Obviously, Tony Stewart was the one who left. Like, it wasn't like they kicked Stewart out. But, like, my point is that I think for Haas Factory, they're trying to prove something this year, which, by all means, go for. But, with that said, I think that... I don't know if it's fully Creed, is what I'm getting at.
Right.
I don't know if it's fully Sheldon. Also, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors.
Right.
You know, there might be something going on also personally for him. because he did well in the Truck Series. I mean, isn't he a Truck Series champ?
Yes.
So he's proven himself.
Oh, yeah, he's proven himself, but obviously I don't know how long he's been in the Xfinity Series now.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
I mean, I guess wins don't really matter in the Xfinity Series. I mean, shout out Dale Hemric. He won an Xfinity Series championship with winning, like, one race in his career.
Yes.
So, I mean,
I don't know. It is one of those conversation points, though. It's like, But, I mean, some of the best drivers do great things, and it takes forever. I mean, Justin Allgaier won his first championship last year, and how long has he been in the Xfinity Series?
Sam Mayer's still young, but obviously he took 5 years, because he's young. He's been in the Xfinity Series probably since Castellich's age, 18, 19.
Yeah.
But only recently till really like last year, I think, was when Mayer got his first win.
Exactly.
So, it was, you know, people also just, I guess,
they want to just talk.
Blossom quick, later than others, I guess that's the word I'm trying to look for.
No, I gotcha. I mean, it takes time and a new team, because Creed ran with JGR last year, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, there's also a new team, a new adjusting period. I mean, look at, you know, Josh Berry. We'll talk about him in a minute with the Cup Series.
Brandon Jones, too.
Yeah.
He was with JGR, and then he was won like five times, and then Junior Motorsports for 2 years, and he just never had the same result.
Right.
And it was in the 9 car when, obviously, because he was Noah Gregson's replacement for Junior Motorsports, when Gregson won, like, whatever many races he did, like 6 or 7, it felt like.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's anything for Creed that you need to be worried about. Now, if we are 10, 15 weeks from now, and he's still barely scratching top tens, then it's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But we're only, what, race 4?
5.
5? For Xfinity, maybe 4. But, like, I don't know.
5.
Oh, it's the trucks that didn't run at Coda. Mm-hmm. Anyways. All right. Any other thoughts on Xfinity Series?
No.
Okay. Moving on to the Cup.
Josh Berry getting his first career win.
Yeah.
And I was preparing to say, if he didn't win Sunday, to you, because he was running in the top 5, so he's going to have a strong finish anyway, I think, that Josh Berry was going to win this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way he's running with that 21 car in the first four races before Vegas, I'm like, he's definitely, there's no way he doesn't win this year. And, well, he did.
So,
and it was at a track where he was considered a long shot.
So, Josh Berry ran for Stuart Haas last year in the 4.
Yep.
Ford.
Yep.
Transitioned over to the 21
wins,
Ford.
Wins in 5 races.
21 car is associated with
Wood Brothers?
No.
Team Penske.
Thank you. I was going to say, I know the Wood Brothers. Point being is, there is, first of all, that car is not a spinning image, but a close to spinning image of the Penske cars, which are fast no matter what.
They've been fast all week.
And here's the other thing for me, because I think there were a lot of people who were like, Josh Berry going to the Wood Brothers, that might be a step down. First of all, no. But also, second of all, he ran a Ford. Now he's running a Ford.
Mm-hmm.
There is no, like, it's one thing if you're driving a Toyota and you go to a Ford. First of all, you're learning a new team. You're learning a new car because the aerodynamics. When he went from a Ford to a Ford, that eliminated that step.
Right.
You know, all he had to do was figure out the race team information and all that. But again, he's basically running a Penske car. You know, and the Penske cars are lightning fast and every week.
It makes me wonder, too.
So it was, my point is it was coming, for
right.
sure.
And it shows, I guess, just how, I don't want to say bad, but how much Stuart Haas has declined the last couple of years, where a good run for like someone like Berry last year was considering finish like 15th.
Right. Right.
And that just shows how something was going on with Stuart Haas' team. Obviously, Tony Stewart left, but Josh Berry, 5 races in the Wood Brothers, he wins.
I mean,
and it goes to show, it kind of makes you wonder, How long has Harrison Burton been in that car?
So, hold on. Here's my thing with before you go to that point. Here's my thing, because I was thinking about this. You have to consider this. Josh Berry is not getting into the same race car that Harrison Burton was in. And here's what I mean. Harrison Burton won at Daytona. Say what you will about it was a drafting track or whatever. Doesn't matter. He won at Daytona. Made the playoffs. If you're a starting park in the playoffs, guess what? You're still getting a boost in money because you're now a playoff driver. And now at the end of the year, even if you flunk out, guess what? You're 16th in the standings. That's a lot better of a payout than 30th.
When Harrison Burton went at Daytona, he was dead last in points for full-time drivers. Okay. So it was like 36, 35th.
So regardless, 16th is going to pay out more than 36th.
Yeah, definitely.
So my point is the Wood brothers took that money, and they weren't just like, Vegas, like, let's party. No, they reinvested it.
Yeah, but
Berry steps into basically a brand new race team than what Harrison Burton had.
Well,
so that's one thing I just want to point
out. Well, yes, but at the same time, that still has been a Penske car the whole time Burton's driven it.
Yes, but you get what you put into it, right? If the Wood brothers were only paying, you know, X amount, Penske's not going to be like, no, I'll pick up the rest. Like, they're going to be like, okay, well.
No, but a Penske Alliance means Penske gets that car ready. That's a Penske car. That car probably sits in the Team Penske shop.
That's fine, but I'm saying that when the car shows up to the racetrack, Penske's not saying, oh, yeah, use our pit box. Like, they're using their own equipment to an extent, meaning, like, their technology might not be the same as what Joey Logano's using. That's what I'm getting at.
Because of the same thing you can go back to is when Ryan Blaney was in that car. Ryan Blaney's one in that car, and that car was competitive every week when Blaney was in that car, and then Harrison Burton came in, and then what happened to Wood Brothers? Because we can say the same thing. Blaney made the playoffs the last year before he went to the 2 car or the 12 car rather. It was the same thing. Harrison Burton got into that car when it was a playoff car, and he was I don't even know how long Burton was in that car, to be honest.
I don't know. I guess for Berry, I don't feel like you can compare the two. Because Burton was running a car that was aligned with Penske. That car probably sits at the Penske shop, if not, you know, gets prepared there and then goes to the Wood Brothers shop for a day and then gets put in the trailer. Like, I get it. But that I'm gonna sit here and say that pay boost gave that team things that Burton did not have. Whether it be
that Blaney gave that team when Burton took over.
But it was different.
No, it wasn't.
No, it was because you're talking about what? 3 years ago? How long did Burton run in that car?
4.
Okay,
yeah,
so
4 years.
4 years ago, we were coming out of the pandemic. The NASCAR landscape was changing so much. My point is in the last 4 years, so much has changed.
But Burton got
Burton's
rookie year was 2020. So he got into that car
so
technically before COVID.
No, but
doesn't matter. He was still in the car before COVID.
But my point is, though, and you have to admit this to me, that the 2020 season, 4 years ago when we were at Vegas, we had practice time. We weren't doing the simulator as much. Like, things have changed.
We're not doing that now. They barely practice.
No. But that's what I'm getting at. My point is Vegas was a 3-day weekend. Practice on Friday, qualifying, practice on Saturday, and then, you know, you didn't have the simulator. You didn't do all this. My point is now here you are 4 years later, or 5 years later, 4 years, and you're running a simulator time, which costs money, right? So my point is Harrison Burton, whatever Blaney gave them, was spent on things that was needed in 2020. The pandemic hits. Rewrites the way NASCAR operates, and the Wood brothers went, but we already spent our money on so my point is it was I get where you're coming from, Harrison Burton. You need to talk about it, you need to acknowledge it and be like, what happened? But at the same time, there were, I feel like that team kind of fell behind the eight ball slightly because of the pandemic and how NASCAR basically said everything but including the kitchen sink, whoosh, out, let's redo race weekends, which then changed how race teams prepare. And if you don't have that extra money coming in, that you're falling behind because everybody else is using money to say, okay, we need to buy a simulator, we need to da-da-da-da-da, and if you're like, I don't have the money, then sorry. NASCAR says, this is the field you're running on, or the court you're playing on. If you can't afford to upgrade your practice facility, not our fault. So then Harrison Burton gets the win, and Wood Brothers say, holy crap, I don't even know if I can say that, but anyways, we're going to overhaul X, Y, and Z, and now Josh Berry is running in a different situation. That's my take on this. I know what you're saying.
Still the same team, same car.
But there are other things. There are other things that are not the same.
Yeah, but Harrison Burton's payout from making the playoffs can't be that much to where that car is all of a sudden like one of the fastest in the field every week.
No, I get what you're saying, but there are other. I'm saying there's a small part of that that did get a boost.
But a lot of it is the driver that is now in that car.
Sure. I'm not trying to take anything away from Josh Berry, and I agree with you that it needs to be discussed as far as Harrison Burton, but I'm saying that there are also other little factors involved as well. I'm not trying to say that Harrison Burton was not good in that car because of COVID, but I'm just saying that pay boost did help add some new things to that team for Josh Berry that he most likely is taking advantage of. Again, I know Harrison Burton is not, you know, he's not Kyle Larson. Like, he definitely is lacking some things. And I'm not trying to take away, like, I'm not trying to be like, oh, well, Josh Berry just got a brand new toy for Christmas and Harrison Burton's been using the same toy for 4 years. And that's not it. I know what you're saying.
Having scraps for dinner.
But I know what you mean, and I get what you're saying, but I'm also just saying that, to an extent, that pay boost helped in some capacity. Well, and here we are again. Josh Berry just solidified. Even if they make playoffs, or they will,
because
they make playoffs and they finish 16th, guess what? They're going to still get that pay boost. You know what I mean? Like,
well, Josh Berry is currently 13th in points, so.
I'm just saying.
At the same time, Harrison Burton was last in points when he won at Daytona by a full-time driver, so last in points. So technically, he does get 16th place points, but it can't be that by that much. He was the worst full-time driver in the field last year.
That's fair.
So at the same time, it's just like, what?
Where's Harrison Burton running this year in Xfinity?
AM Racing. Team Haley Deegan had last year.
We'll have to see how he does.
He's finished top 10 in 3 races.
Okay.
I think. Let me look. Oh, look. He finished 8th at Vegas. Let me look.
Well, we'll see.
So at Daytona, he finished 6th. Atlanta, 10th. Circuit of the Americas, 35th. Phoenix, 20th. Vegas, 8th.
Okay. Well, I'll be interested. I'll be excited to see how that goes. So,
because obviously now, I mean, I feel like, I mean, obviously next year is crazy to think about for Cup rides next year because you don't know. Mm. The only one that's really being talked about is if Suarez is going to be in Cup next year. And that kind of all started once Pitbull kind of left Trackhouse as an owner. But Suarez finishing second yesterday, I think, does a lot for his confidence-wise. Because Suarez is a great driver. Mm-hmm. I mean, he won at Atlanta last year in the 3-wide finish. Mm-hmm. He hasn't really been competitive this year yet, but it's still early. I mean, he finished second yesterday, which is great. Him and Berry were having a great battle for 5 laps or so before Berry finally was able to get past him.
Suarez finished second. Chastain finished 5th.
Yeah, Chastain's had a fast car
so
this year.
So 2 out of the 10 is owned by one team.
And
you know, like,
Tyler Reddick and Denny Hamlin were probably going to be in the top 5 too, until they pitted. They were the first two to pit on the green flag pit stops so that last caution came out, so they kind of got trapped. So it was kind of like, ah. Oh. And being me being a Denny Hamlin fan, I'm like, ah, oh, man. Because I even asked my, I even texted my friend that's a Kyle Busch fan yes, on Sunday, and I'm like, is Denny Hamlin even in this race? I was like, where is he? But, I mean, I think the Vegas for the Cup race I thought was pretty good. I mean, it was a story of how many tires are going to fall off.
Because
so Briscoes happened, but Kyle Busch's was one I've never, like, you see tires come off, but you never see the rim come off like that.
That was weird.
It was just like, oh.
That was weird.
Like, I thought he lost two tires for a second. I'm like, no, that's just the rim.
Yeah. So let me cycle into the next conversation point here. Christopher Bell leaves the pits.
Oh, yes.
Drives down the down pit road. Adam Stevens acknowledges that he has a loose wheel.
Mm-hmm.
He pulls into the 19 pit stop.
Well, the reason was is because the 21 pull. So Barry pulled out as Bell was trying to get into his spot. Bell was on the outside. Mm-hmm. So he couldn't. I mean, that was kind of on Bell to kind of should have gotten down because he was too high up. So once the car comes, pulls in behind next to him, he's screwed.
So he parked wrong in the box is what you're saying?
No, Bell.
What are you saying?
Bell, when Bell was trying to get to his stop, his pit stop or his stall. Pit stall, Barry pulled out and he was right next to Bell. Bell was on the high side, so Bell could not get into his stall because Barry was right next to him.
What are you talking about?
When Bell, because Bell pulled into the 19 because he couldn't get to his stall.
No.
Yes.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, because he left. He went into his stall, into the 20 stall. They did a tire change. Adam Stevens acknowledged that he had a loose lug nut.
Well, he was
down pit road and then dove into the 19 stall for them to tighten.
Yeah, but he was gonna originally look like he was gonna stop into it, like the back up into a stall, but he couldn't because he was trapped at that point. Which is when Barry pulled out, he couldn't go because he would have hit Barry if he tried to. That's if I remember correctly, because I know Bell stopped before he got to the 19. So I feel like he tried to reverse back into a stall, but he couldn't because there was a car behind him at that point.
Hang on.
And I could be wrong, but I think that's why he did what he did. Because obviously Briscoe's team was not ready for that to happen.
Well, I mean, Briscoe's team wasn't pitting.
No.
So,
which goes... Which being, I wonder what Chase Briscoe was thinking when he was on the track, and you hear James Small on the on the radio go, tighten the lug nut up, or tighten the wheel up, you know. And Briscoe's like, did I miss something?
All right, hold on.
Because you hear crew chief saying to tighten the wheel up, or the tire up, and Briscoe's not on pit road.
Okay. So, I'll show you this. All right. So, this is, he's back on track. So, you're going to see him right here, front tire changer, lays out because he did not get on. He comes out. He's about a lane from the grass. At this point, Adam Stevens, if we could hear the audio, was saying, hey, what, loose. Right here, I see what you're saying. Then he pulls over into the 19 box.
Okay.
So
I thought for some reason I thought Bell and Briscoe's pit stalls were closer than that.
So the reason why I'm bringing this up is because, first of all, Door Bumper Clear had Slugger Labby.
Slugger LeBay.
LeBay. And he's now works for TRD and everything. And they were, I don't know if you got to this point in the episode. I apologize if I'm going to.
I think
plot twist or whatever, like spoiler. But more or less, they got to that point, and they talked about how this was a plan that Toyota had in place.
Oh no, I would got to that point.
For years.
Yeah,
and like how I think it was
because it's not.
I think it was Tommy or Baldwin was like he's looked at the 45 crew chief and he was like, "What did you just do?" And the 45 crew spotter was like, "Yeah,
we knew that was coming.
We knew what we were doing here.
That was planned."
So point is like this is now a talking point.
So it's not based on what Door Bumper Clear was saying. It's not against the rules.
It's a pitting out of the box penalty,
right?
Which is end of the longest line.
But at the same time, either LeBay or Baldwin said it's not. It's a black and white, which pretty much any rule in NASCAR is black and white.
Gray
in
area.
This day and age, yes, it's a gray area. It has to be approved. It's a NASCAR discretion.
Because that 19 team was not on the approved list of people
right.
that touched the 20 car.
Right, so which is why it's black and white. So it's not technically against the rules. You can do it, but it has to be approved by NASCAR beforehand to do it.
Right, because Bob Pockris had sent Freddie Kraft the info, and basically, to recap it, more or less was saying that at NASCAR's discretion, other people can touch the race car, like a backup car situation. Mm-hmm. You know, if you wreck your primary and you need all hands on deck to get that backup car, then NASCAR could say, yes, five teams could work on that car to get it ready. But in this case, it's like, wait a minute.
Which is when...
So the question on the table is, for everybody in NASCAR is, are we going to see a rule amendment or an update to say that if this happens again, that instead of two laps, it's one lap or something like that? Because what's to say that Chase Elliott, or what's to say that if NASCAR doesn't say anything, then race teams say, okay, guess what? We need at least one car in the first five pit stalls of pit road, because if we have a loose wheel, we'll just send him down the pit road and he'll pull into his teammate.
And the way they looked at it is Bell wasn't penalized for pitting out of the box. And the reason they say they have that mindset is because if he went off the pit road, he wasn't going to make it around before that tire came off.
So that
was
going
to be a two-lap penalty. Instead, he was on the lead lap and got to the tail of the longest line, which...
That's one argument.
He was penalized for pitting out of the box, but... The way Toyota's looked at it, which is, I guess, is a good mindset to have, is that he wasn't penalized for that when he couldn't have been down two laps down if he didn't do that.
Well, that.
So in that case, it was a best case scenario.
That, and also Toyota's probably looking at it saying, "Oh well, okay, NASCAR, make your decision here. What do you want? Do you want us to do this, or do you want us to send a race car out with a loose wheel that then becomes a safety issue?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think it's definitely a talking point to wonder, like, what are we doing here? You know, and then in Denny Hamlin's podcast, clearly we're all just dirty media fans here.
Yeah.
Dale Jr., if you want to pick us up. But if, like, in Denny Hamlin's podcast, he made the point to say, or one of them made the point to say, what about, like, the 47 who doesn't have teammates?
Yeah. But no, then, and Dorbon McClure said the same thing. He's like, right. poor Stenhouse, he's one car team. He doesn't have any friends.
But that was the thing. Like, somebody had said, they're like, well, you better make friends. Mm-hmm. And then maybe, and this is where I'll throw this in, maybe that's when then it comes to the, like, you see the super speedway alliances. You know, like 47, he's a Chevy.
So all the Chevys work together.
So, hey, you know, hey, Kyle Larson, hey, we need, can you hit that lug nut? Yep, thanks. Great.
And that's why we needed to have drivers talk to each other again on Super Speedways. That was great.
but once again, it was amazing as a Toyota racing fan. You know, I drive a Toyota. I love Toyota. I know I'm a Chase Elliott fan, but Toyota is what I drive day to day.
Guys, Devin's just weird. He can't make his mind up.
It was amazing to see this happen and all of us go, whoa, heads up play. Toyota be like, no, we've had this in our back pocket for years.
I looked at my dad and go, yeah, that's legal, because it technically is legal. It's just a black and white area, so it's discretion.
It's like, yeah, I mean, because technically, you know, he pit outside the box, and there's nothing saying, like, there's rules against the 19 team touching the 20, but we've had pit crews get swapped mid-races before. Again, with NASCAR's permission. Mm-hmm. But it is something that, like, I think NASCAR down in Concord, North Carolina right now is sitting there saying, huh, what do we do here? You know, because at the end of the day, that play saved NASCAR from having a potentially unsafe situation on the racetrack. Granted, it was under caution, but if that was a green flag pit stop, That's the difference between Briscoe going out on the track or not. But the question then becomes, if that's Briscoe, because I don't even know what pit box Briscoe was, but if that's Briscoe, He's pit box number 12.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other JGR pit boxes in front of Briscoe, or is Briscoe the race team of the week that gets the short straw, and if they miss a lug nut,
everyone go to the 19 pit stop.
But that's what I'm saying.
You can tell it's scared the 19 team, because they knew Briscoe was coming, and all of a sudden they see a car pulling into their stall. They're like, whoa.
It was funny because it was the gas man who stepped off the wall first, almost like, this isn't our team.
Wait, what the heck? This isn't the 19. Where is he at?
I would have loved to have listened, because you didn't necessarily hear Adam Stevens calling down to the 19, but you could hear Stevens was like, pull off. And I bet then that's when somebody switched radios and was like, hey, who's the 19 crew chief? I don't think it's
19 is James Small.
Okay, so hey, James, 20 car coming to you, and you saw
which is when James Small said on the radio, tighten that lug nut. And yep. Then that's why I said Briscoe's probably on track. He goes, what? Did I miss something?
And if you look at the video, the front tire changer jumps over the wall, goes to the right side, and then comes running back over to the left side to go, oh, okay, wrong front tire. But, I mean, great job by both of those teams. And, again, it was definitely something, and, I mean, Door Bumper Clear confirmed it, that this was something that Toyota has talked about, you know, and because the Jackman jumped right into it. He was just like, oh, okay, I got to jack this car up. Like, there was no hesitation of, what are we doing? It was, oh, okay, yeah, I know what to do here. So, again, great job by Toyota. Great job by TRD to have that plan to more or less say, hey, this happens, we do this. And it was awesome. I mean, good for them. Good for them. I think now it definitely puts NASCAR in that box, though, to say, okay, what are we doing? You know, and I think, once again, TRD is pushing the limit and making NASCAR now have to officiate something they might not have thought about. But anyways, any other thoughts on Vegas?
No, I do not have any.
All right. So looking ahead, because I'm gonna bring this up, and I know you're going to know instantly where I'm going with this. Okay, looking ahead. All three series running at Homestead this weekend. The Cup Series will run on Sunday at 3 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. The Xfinity Series will run on Saturday at 4 p.m. on the CW. And the Truck Series are going to run Friday night at 8 p.m.
Drivers
on
only
Fox.
Broadcast.
Hold on. Okay. Yes, you're right. Hold on.
Okay.
Why? Okay. I love that the Truck Series and the ARCA Series, they're getting seen on Big Fox.
Yes.
That's awesome. Why is a third-tier top series getting put on Fox and the Cup Series is on Fox Sports 1?
Because Fox doesn't care.
I think there's probably a programming reason for it.
They got crap for Sunday, which rightfully so. When they always interview at least the top five. So they interviewed Barry and Suarez. Ryan Preece, who had his best career finish at third on Sunday, never got interviewed by Fox.
Before we get to that, because they wanted to show the
Patrick Dempsey documentary, which was pretty good, by the way.
I will say this. Before we get to that, I will say this. March Madness starts this week. So on Friday night, they might have some college hoops on Fox Sports 1. Why they move in the truck race. I don't know if college hoops are on Sunday as well for March Madness. You might know. I don't know if there are any games on Sunday.
I don't even know if any March Madness games are on Fox to begin with.
My point is, I could see why that is, but that was something I just noticed, is that your top series, your top form of stock car racing in the country is getting put on Fox Sports 1 when the AAA, would that be, team? If we're using baseball analogy, would the Truck Series be the AAA team?
Double A team?
Double A series is getting put on Big Fox.
Yes.
I love it for the Truck Series. But put the Truck Series and the Cup Series on Fox.
Why do you think people can't wait for the day that NASCAR pulls out of Fox? Why do you think people were upset when IndyCar decided to go to Fox? It's just like, oh, you got IndyCar's going to be on IndyCar. Like, people complained that when Cup practice on NBC goes to Peacock or something, IndyCar practice and qualifying is always on FS2. IndyCar's going to be on Big Fox all year. Oh, there it is. That's why. IndyCar's at the same exact time, I think, as Homestead on Sunday. When IndyCar's at Thermal. So I'm pretty sure it's the same time. I'm pretty sure IndyCar's on regular Fox, Big Fox.
Let me confirm that. Hang on.
I think that's what it is. Pretty sure it's 3 o'clock or 3:30, whatever one.
Yes, it is. Okay. That I can understand. I'm not saying I still like it, but I get it. The truck race, though, being on Fox, Big Fox. Again, I get it from a producer standpoint. Sometimes you have to do what you got to do to get the race on TV. But if you are not an IndyCar fan, you're not happy with that. You're not happy that the Truck Series gets Big Fox and the Cup race doesn't.
Yeah. Hopefully Brian Preece finishes third again. Hopefully he actually gets interviewed this time.
Now, real quick, I will say I did not like that. I did not like the fact that there was no interview from Fox.
So I heard, right? Apparently some people said that they interviewed like 10 drivers, but majority of the people said they cut it off after the Suarez interview. So I guess it all depends on like where you're located, but I'm like, okay.
So here's my thing. I'm going to play two sides of the coin here, so hear me out. One, I hated it for Preece.
Yeah.
Right? He top finish, best finish of the career in his career. That's awesome. Good for Ryan. I like that SiriusXM had him. Like, good job getting some coverage. Not a fan of it for Fox. I think if you're Fox, even if you have a TV window, right, you have to be off air at 7, let's say. Mm-hmm. Still go and record the interview and put it on socials, right? Now, with that said, to play the other side of the coin, as a producer, I can understand sitting in the truck having to make a decision on, okay, we have enough time for this, and then post-race. Post-race has to happen from Victory Lane with Chris and Jamie because of some sponsorship things. Like that has to happen. Okay, so we're going to interview the winner. We have enough time for one more.
Well, the thing is...
Hold on. Hold that thought.
Okay, hold on.
Let me... I'm going to forget my thought, so hold on. As a producer, you have to make a decision. Who is going to be your second interview? That final 20-lap run started with Suarez versus Berry. Unfortunately for Ryan Preece, Suarez is the winner because he was the other person involved in the storyline for that final 20-lap run. I hate to say it, but I'm just saying, like, that's how you do it in journalism.
Well, see,
right? I'm not going to go interview Sally on the corner when there was a robbery. I'm going to interview the owner, and I'm going to interview the cops.
Well, the thing
is, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the thing is, too, is after they interviewed Barry, Fox went to commercial. Hmm. If you have, I know they probably had to put a commercial there, but you went back to commercial just to interview Suarez, and then you were like, okay,
done. Well, they went 20 laps on with no commercial.
Yeah.
So they had to put as a producer, you had to put that commercial break somewhere, but I get it.
But NASCAR doesn't have a given time on when they're going to start because you just don't know.
Yes.
So And this is why people criticize Fox a lot, because they don't do a post-race coverage. Like CW or NBC or, I don't know, Prime or TNT, we don't know yet, because obviously they're not. Obviously they do like an hour, hour and a half pre-race for Cup. But people, I mean, the pre-race, they've interviewed the same drivers every week. I'm pretty sure they've interviewed Kyle Larson every week pre-race. I could be wrong. I didn't watch most of the pre-race on Sunday, so I don't know. But I feel like they've interviewed the same drivers pre-race every week since Daytona. Logano, Byron, Larson. Like,
that could be Fox. That could also be PR things.
True, yeah.
Not, again, just playing devil's advocate, but go on.
I mean, Ryan Preece deserved an interview there. His best career finish, even though he's been strong all year. But, I mean, I know they kept talking about the Patrick Dempsey documentary. It's not something that's a live show that Fox went to.
So
it's a documentary where they interview Priest. Let's say they get off at 7:05, 7:10, just say.
Sorry.
They get off at 7:05, 7:10, Fox does, after doing the interviews that they want to do. By the time they go to the documentary, they can just start it from where it was, like from the start. It wasn't a live programming.
But so here's my question, and unfortunately, I don't think either of us have the answer to it. Was after that documentary, what was after it? Did we go from 7 to 8 and then at 8 o'clock Sunday Night Hoops? You know, like, was there, my point is, was there a live thing after it?
No, it was a documentary.
No. After the documentary.
I don't know.
Like, and I know, I don't either,
I don't know if there was or not.
So, unfortunately, as a producer sitting, I think Fox is based out of California, you're sitting there, and it's a giant puzzle piece, right? And as soon as something pushes outside of its TV window, it's a ripple effect, right? It's like dropping a pebble in the water. You watch all the waves. So my point is if there was some big college hoops game or something on Sunday night that they had to make sure got seen at 8 o'clock, let's say, or 8:30, whatever, unfortunately, you have to back that up. And those programs, like the documentary, they are pre-programmed with the commercial breaks. You know, it's not like there's a producer that says, all right, instead of five times for Chick-fil-A, we're only showing them four times.
Right.
Like, no, those are all edited and pre-programmed. So it's tough. Unfortunately, the other half of this is, and I know that there are going to be some New England fans out there that go, you're wrong. Of the drivers in post, again, Suarez was involved in the final 20 lap run, right?
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, when we look at popularity, Ryan Preece's overall popularity is not there yet.
It's higher than Suarez.
Suarez is international.
Doesn't matter.
Unfortunately, it does. And that's the part that is. For lack of a better term, sucks right now, is that NASCAR, in addition to the fact that Suarez was the second place driver, NASCAR is going to Mexico. Meaning, you put Suarez on TV, I bet they just sold some more tickets to that Mexico
race.
They
interviewed Catherine Legg at Phoenix more than they did Ryan Preece.
And do you know why?
For Catherine Legg finishing 35th.
Do you know why?
No. Okay.
Because every time she got put on TV, it was international driver Catherine Legg, who's run international, and also female driver Catherine Legg. I'm not trying to take anything away from her, because I think that whole situation, she got thrown into it, and it was just kind of like, okay, here's a fire extinguisher, go put out the dumpster fire. Like, I think that she was thrown into a situation that she shouldn't have been in. And I'm not trying to say that anything.
They more gave her gasoline to pour onto the fire more.
But my point
they
is,
they kind of set her up to fail.
But my point is that unfortunately, her being a female driver for the first time in, 7 years since Danica Patrick,
2017, I think was the last time.
2018, so yeah, 7 years.
That was a huge storyline. You know, when you have a mostly male-dominated sport, female driver. And as much as you and I are going to sit there and be like, no, she's a driver. Like, we're not looking at her as a female driver. That is a storyline.
Well, no, I agree with that. But she was running, like, 35th, and they were, like, focused on her for, like, being two laps down, running 35th. And it's like, okay, cool. No one cares where she is at this point.
I get it.
Everyone knows that she is not going to be a factor in this.
But the 2,000 people that tuned into that race to watch Catherine Legg cared about where she was.
I'm sure there's people that didn't watch just the watch Catherine Legg.
But there are people that did. My grandmother was one of them. Huh. My grandmother used to watch the truck series for Haley Deegan. Granted, she's become a race fan. More now.
Well, I think Haley Deegan side is because she's like, because she has like, what's the word? She, I guess she's a social media influencer, I guess is the best way to put it. So people will go on her, watch her YouTube videos or something and goes, oh, like, this is pretty cool.
But here's another thing, and this is where somebody in Concord, North Carolina is going to go, bam! My grandmother became a NASCAR fan because of Haley Deegan. Haley Deegan no longer runs in NASCAR, but my grandmother was watching on Sunday. She was texting me going, who do you think is going to win this race? Right? So Catherine Legg is in the race, not doing well because of things outside of her control. Fox is interviewing her. They're focusing on her because that little girl that runs at the go-kart track on Saturday nights is so excited that there is somebody like her in a cup car. And that's what NASCAR is going for, right? Same thing with Daniel Suarez.
But let's interview Ryan Preece, finishing third. I don't care. I don't care that he has more. The Suarez might have more audience. I don't care.
But unfortunately, that is the world of entertainment. And that's the world we live in right now. Again, I'm not trying to take anything away from Ryan Preece. He is a fantastic driver. I've met him a couple of times. Great guy. You know, like, he is a good old boy. Like, he will be up here. Maybe not a good old boy. He's a New Englander. Sorry, that was a wrong term. That was a wrong term. But he is a New Englander. You know, he's up here running on Wednesday nights just because he wants to have a steering wheel in his hand. Right? That's where he came
from. Kyle Larson does the same thing on dirt. He's just like, I'm running dirt.
But that's what I'm saying.
I'm going to be in Oklahoma today, then I'll be in Washington next day.
And that's why Kyle Larson's interviewed every week. Because the people who see him on Thursday night, Friday night, Wednesday night, wherever, they then are tuning into the cup race on Sunday and going, woo, there's my boy.
So if that's the case, then how come they don't interview Josh Barrymore? Because he's the first NASCAR Weekly Advanced Auto Parts Weekly champion to win a cup race. For those people that are in that, obviously they're going to want to see someone like Josh Berry interviewed more. I know they talk about him being a short track guy a lot, but they don't really interview him a lot.
My opinion, or let me back up, my assumption is, because up until this past week, up until this season, the finishes didn't necessarily back it. When he got into the series, they were interviewing him a lot.
Catherine Legg's finish didn't go to – they interviewed her in the infield care center.
But if Catherine Legg runs all races, you'll see that excitement dwindle. You know, she got interviewed multiple times because it was a one-off as of right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, again, I'm not saying that it's right. I'm not saying that it's the way it needs to be. I know here – on my end of things as a production company, I've had people who are like, you should go interview that player. Why? Because they're a 1,000-point scorer, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, yes, but I'd rather go interview the other kid who just had a career-high game for her or him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I don't necessarily buy into the idea of, ooh, this is a hook, line, and sinker. Let me go interview Daniel Suarez. Granted, he was second. He was in the race for the lead. Like, there was a lot of other things. But for NASCAR, on top of that, Daniel's amigos were watching that race, got to see him on TV, and I bet they sold some more tickets.
Suarez obviously should have been interviewed, but they always do the top 10. Or not, I don't want to say top 10. They always do a few driver interviews.
But again, there might have been somebody in California in the producer's ear in the truck going, hey, you need to be off by 7 o'clock because at 8 o'clock we have Duke versus whoever in men's basketball. This is a playing game for, you know, whatever.
But you still...
I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying...
You still have, like...
But I'm just... I'm trying to... I guess my point is I'm trying to shed some light on the other side of the coin. I still think Ryan Preece should have been interviewed. Trust me. I'm with you all. But I'm just saying that unfortunately there are things that are outside of our control, whether they're right or wrong. And it is what it is. You know what I mean?
Fox Denver has a set time for when NASCAR goes off air.
They have a set time for every time NASCAR goes
except
off air.
Except sometimes their coverage ends at 6:22, 7:35.
That's when it ends early.
Okay.
So, as much as I love Fox, if a race runs long, they're supposed to end at 6, they go till 6:22, guess what? At 6:23, they're off air. There's no post-race. There's nothing. Because, unfortunately, as much as I love Fox, motorsports is on the bottom of the totem pole.
Well, at least you know.
I am well aware. But it's the same thing with NBC. You know, it's the same thing with the CW.
But the
it's the same. Unfortunately, motorsports in the pecking order of sports in the country is not as high.
But NBC, no matter what, does like a half hour to an hour post-race coverage. CW does.
Well, that's because they
CW does work. Fox should plan for it.
I agree.
It's Fox's issue.
I don't disagree with you.
I mean, they still say when Fox, like we talked about it last week, when they sent IndyCar's fastest racing on Earth, knowing dang well that they have the NHRA on their network, and they kind of made the NHRA mad.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, wow, maybe Fox shouldn't be covering motorsports anymore. I'm just kidding. I don't think that. I think they just need to.
I feel like Fox needs to not be at, and this is not anybody at the track. I think it's somebody above the people.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm not saying like Mike Joy. Like, I love Mike Joy.
God dang it, like, Mike Joy.
But my point is I think Fox needs to take a step back and say, right now, we're in the entertainment business, right? But don't be Las Vegas Lights. Be more Daytona Bluegrass. Because that's the people you're...
Because...
Like, get rid of those cartoons. Get rid of the fan... Like, I get the fancy commercials. Get me wrong. But, like, why? Just show... My favorite Fox commercial for the Daytona 500 is not the Daytona Day one. It was when they literally just had highlights of the race and crashing and all... Like, the wrecks and everything. It was like, that is a commercial for the 500, like, not Sharknado with Brad Keselowski. Like, it was like, what?
Like,
what?
One thing I'm going to put is the CW. The CW got a lot of crap because college basketball ran, like, over a lot of the pre-race coverage for the CW. After that basketball game was done, they still did interviews with players and coaches before they went to the race. Why can't Fox do the same thing? Because all Fox has to do... Because ESPN does the same thing. If something runs long on ESPN, this program alert at the bottom. This will now start on ESPN News or
that's
ESPN2.
That's what Fox did on Friday night with the truck race.
Fox should do it for the Cup Series. If they want to, Ryan Preece could have been interviewed, and all you had to do was program alert. Whatever. I don't know what the Patrick Dempsey documentary was called. I forgot what it was called. Either way, this will now be starting on Fox. This will now be starting on FS2. Something.
The unfortunate.
Networks do it all the time where they change things up because something ran long. ESPN is known for doing it.
There are other things, though, involved, meaning there are other things like in that moment, you could have had the quote unquote perfect storm of I cannot bump this on Fox Sports 2 or Fox Sports 1. You know what I mean?
A documentary people someone can watch probably anytime.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Ryan Preece interview. That probably takes 2 minutes.
Unfortunately, at the end of the day, third place, it doesn't matter if it's Ryan Preece or not, third place is third place.
But they always interview third place.
When they have the time.
They always have the time.
There have been other times for Fox where they don't have time.
Which is what I'm like, when I go back to what ESPN does, they just like this will now, if something runs long, like a basketball game or something.
But that's my point is unfortunately in the world of motorsports, in the eyes of society, as soon as that checkered flag flies, get it off my TV. And well, it maybe sucks as a race fan. It sucks.
Does. It definitely
does. I mean, how many times have we turned on Fox Sports 1 to watch, or NBC, not just Fox, but NBC or whoever, to watch the pre-race, because we're those people that are like, yeah, sure, we'll watch pre-race. But you put on pre-race, and it's the end of a college basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, that's fine. Well, but no, then as soon as the final, as soon as the happens...
That wasn't really a horn, but yeah.
Whatever. As soon as the final horn or air horn or whatever goes off, then they interview the head coach and everything. And it's like, okay, I hate to be that guy, but get off my screen.
But they have a program alert, NASCAR race day.
No,
well,
but
actually, Fox doesn't start. Fox will start race day when it goes.
Right.
But if
the race starts, then yes, they'll say, hey, the...
Right.
Whatever raises.
So what's the difference? So what's the difference with doing that with a documentary?
But you just because a documentary isn't something that like isn't a live thing. And my point is the checkered flag flew. At that point, again, in my opinion and my assumption, at that point, the requirement for having that on live TV is completed. Right? You just said it. College basketball game runs long, they won't start race day until that's over. Because guess what? What matters is when the green flag flies and the checkered flag flies. As soon as the checkered flag is flown, then if we have the time, go interview 1 through 40. We don't have the time, okay, interview your race winner. Have a good night. Thanks so much for tuning in. See you later. And a documentary, as much as I understand where you're coming from, that is one of those things that is set in stone. And if you start late, it pushes everything back.
Okay, but the CW is the same thing. It pushes everything back.
But the CW is different in the sense of what's been happening with them is the regional issue. It's not the CW.
Well, no. Even like if it was a basketball game on the CW, everyone sees that game
But we're not seeing an Atlanta basketball game in New Hampshire. We're seeing the Xfinity race.
No, but...
That's what I'm saying. Like, the CW is a different issue. Well,
right, but even like... Okay, so I'll go to NBC. If their pre-race or post-race coverage runs late most of the time, just because but when the race ends. At the bottom, program alert. I don't know. It's usually on NBC at that...
Honestly? I can't think of anything that's really covered by NBC other than motorsports.
Yeah, but either way, whatever show is coming on after, program alert, this is now starting on CNBC, whatever the case is.
Most of your stuff that are covered
Fox
by...
Fox can do that so easily.
But here's the thing. Most of your stuff that's covered by NBC is you have the NFL... You have NASCAR. You have the Olympic stuff, obviously. You have some college basketball. You have horse racing. And then you have, like, your rugby and your other Olympic stuff. Most of those things, though, are, like, college basketball, NFL, NASCAR are your live sports. But, like, other stuff, golf... Usually tape delay if it's not live on the Golf Network, which is, I believe, or NBC's Golf Network. My point is that what comes down to is what's live. You know, we've been bumped. NASCAR's been bumped from NBC on a Sunday because of NFL football. The last 20 laps of the Homestead race in November or October got bumped to Peacock or USA because we had Sunday Night Football coming up. Got bumped. It wasn't program alert. It was bumped. So my point is that everything happens the way it happens and the way it goes, you know, and it's just as much as I would have loved to have seen Ryan Preece get interviewed and have his moment and, you know, celebrate the third place that he earned and got, there was something bigger coming up. There was something else coming up on Sunday night on Fox or Fox Sports 1 that made it so that if you did not end at 7 o'clock, it was going to push everything and screw everything up later that evening. And it, again, it's something that it sucks. You know, it's a pain in the butt. Most people don't understand it, but it's the way it goes. And it, again, I'm not trying to say, you know, it is what it is, suck it up. Because trust me, I'm not happy with how Fox covered it either. But unfortunately, it's the way it goes. And it sucks.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. Well, we're approaching an hour and a half.
Yeah. And you have a meeting.
Oh, that's beside the point. But let's... I'm more concerned with the file size being too big to upload to the podcast platforms.
Oh.
Anyways, any final thoughts?
No.
Should be fun on Homestead. Homestead always puts on a good race.
And it's the last race for whatever renovations they're doing.
I can't think of what they're doing down there. But
I forgot what it was, but...
Yeah, we'll see. But I know it's not for the track. It's more like a Daytona Rising type deal. Yeah. Like they're not reconfiguring the racetrack. But anyways, I want to say thank you so much for tuning in. For Jordan, I'm Devin. Have a great night and a great day. We'll see you all next week for another edition of Racing Hotspot.